This is Scott Becker with the Becker Women's Leadership Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by probably the brightest person you'll hear from in a long time. We're speaking today with Shima Raij. Shima is the founder and chief investment officer at SafeRate. She's also a graduate and has spent time at MIT and UFC and is by background a robotics engineer. So, Shima, let me ask you before we get started to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Scott, so much for having me. I'm Shima Raij, founder and chief investment officer at SafeRate. SafeRate's a new mortgage lender that provides borrowers a personalized mortgage experience and products that adjust to borrowers' unique financial situation. Our first product is the SafeRate mortgage that automatically reduces a borrower's monthly payments if home values fall. And we're also working on a new product that lowers their interest rate if their credit scores improve. And so we're really a new mortgage lender that provides flexible debt products to borrowers in addition to a personalized experience. Prior to that, I worked at a venture capital firm in Chicago focused on early stage financial technology and software solutions. And before that, I worked on a Wall Street mortgage desk specifically focused on structured debt and residential mortgages. And as Scott alluded to, in my early career, I was a robotics engineer building autonomous tanks and specifically designing the obstacle avoidance and path planning algorithms for those tanks.
So when you're designing tanks and doing robotics and doing those kinds of things, do you ever then get into the hustle and grind of the mortgage world and think, oh my God, none of these people are nearly as smart as me? Or are you able to avoid that instinct?
Well, it's been a humbling experience. There's mortgage veterans that have been doing this for 40 plus years. And sometimes as a youngster entering a new world where, you know, so many people have a ton of experience, you know, it's just very humbling. And so sometimes you come in with these new ideas and people tell you, well, this is the way we've been doing it for, you know, the last four decades. And so it has been an interesting experience of being on the younger side of entering the mortgage market, having new ideas, but then at the same time, understanding that not having come from that background, you know, from my education or my professional background, it really has been an endeavor for me to learn from everyone who has had that experience, whether it's from lending, regulatory, or the capital markets, and just soak in all that knowledge before I can present a solution that I know is going to be accepted by that marketplace. So it's been exciting, but also challenging, just learning and innovating in a space where I did not have initially that professional or educational background in.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a wonderful answer. And thank you. Humility is always becoming. And so thank you very much. Magnificent. How did you start the business? Was it nerve-wracking? Were you anxious? Did you start it alone? Did you start it with a partner? Tell us a little bit about founding the business.
Yeah, so I had just finished an internship on a Wall Street structured desk group, and this was between my first and second years of business school when I had met my co-founder, and who ended up actually becoming my husband a couple of years later. But what I learned on that structured debt product, and this is, you know, in 2011, 2012, when the financial crisis had happened and we'd seen the effects of it. And, you know, the products that were that the desks were coming out with were essentially, you know, these asset managers purchasing tens of thousands of homes where 6 million households had been foreclosed on and turning those into single family rentals. So essentially these borrowers had lost their homes. They now no longer had the credit or the capital to purchase a new home. And these large asset managers with, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars on their balance sheet had purchased these homes and essentially rented them back out. And, you know, I really wanted to work on that desk to understand what was happening on the capital market side of the crisis. But then I realized that I thought there should be better market-based solutions for helping borrowers in distress, as opposed to maybe some of these more opportunistic deals that were coming out at the time. And it was exciting for me because I met my co-founder, who was also at Chicago Booth, and he was working with a professor, Amar Sufi, around looking at household level debt, business spending, along with the capital market side of things, as to what had caused the financial crisis and how we can prevent it from happening again. And some of the ideas that emerged from that research and were captured in a book, House of Debt, which was actually shortlisted for Financial Times Book of the Year in 2014, was that we should look at more flexible debt products that actually adjust to borrowers' financial circumstances. And what was interesting was that, you know, my co-founder and I, you know, we started down that journey of exploring the initial idea that was proposed in the book. And that was called the shared responsibility mortgage. And what it did was it proposed that we reduce the mortgage's principal during times of distress in return for a share of appreciation of the home at sale. And what we found out, speaking with, you know, mortgage industry veterans and regulators in the capital markets, was that that initial idea was not going to be feasible. And so my founder and I, we went down this path of just speaking with everyone we could LinkedIn connect with or, you know, find through a connection to understand what would be feasible and then iterate on the idea. So it was, you know, initially very nerve-wracking just understanding how we could fit into the marketplace. And then, you know, subsequently, after we believe we found the right product, then, you know, fundraising. So, you know, we were able to raise capital from the Polsky Innovation Fund at the University of Chicago. And, you know, that allowed us to start originating mortgages, you know, get some office space, and, you know, really try to capture more borrowers to grow the business.
So, simply fascinating. Do you ever have days where you love your husband as a husband, but don't love him as much as a partner and co-founder?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is tough working together sometimes. And what's been interesting is sometimes our biggest breakthroughs happen after we've had a really horrible day of meetings. And so I can recall one day we're in Bethesda, Maryland, and just had, you know, five back-to-back meetings with mortgage investors where essentially they had told us that the incarnation of the product we were working on was not going to work. And, you know, we went to this pizza place in downtown Bethesda and just started screaming at each other because we had finally internalized from external, you know, validation or lack of validation that initial idea wasn't going to work. And so we just had this row at, you know, the pizza place, and immediately we changed direction and decided to go a new path with the product. And so, you know, it is difficult at times, but I've also realized that sometimes having those, you know, angry discussions or angry post-meeting lunches can actually be a breakthrough into, you know, a new pivot or a new way for the business that can actually be long-term beneficial for the company.
When you have to look at it as though it happens in every family, but at least in your family, it's happening towards at least a real business opportunity and effort. I mean, at least there's a positive rationale for it. It's not just fighting over, you know, what kind of coffee are we having this morning, which happens in our house. So it's actually impressive. Another question for you is, who takes care of, how are you selling mortgages? How are you actually reaching the community to sort of, you know, you have to find ultimately borrowers. How do you go about that? How does that happen?
Yeah. Initially, it was word of mouth. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in building trust with people so we can help them through the mortgage process. It's just being advocates and not sellers. And so just educating borrowers on what the process is going to be like, the mortgage options that are available to them, and just really understanding what's happening with this whole process. And so we're a trusted source. We, you know, fortunately that has worked out with our initial customer. So every initial customer referred us to a new customer. And I think, you know, when you think about business growth from, you know, an early stage company, you really want to keep those cost of customer acquisition as low as possible. So if you're able to build that trust with your initial customers and get the word of mouth referrals, it's really both fulfilling, but also, you know, cost savings for the business. And one thing we realized from those initial customer interactions was that people really do just want someone to speak with for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to understand the process before they start, you know, entering their social security number and just very personal information onto a digital form. And so more recently, we launched a website called Mortgage Coffee Chat. And it's really a way for people to, you know, book a time with me or someone else on the team and for us to be their mortgage expert. So ask me the dumb question. And I always actually get very excited when people say I have a dumb question, because one, it's never dumb. And I know it's a question that they've been meaning to ask for a long time. You know, they felt bad going to their banker or, you know, don't know who to speak with at a larger lender. And they're asking that question for me, and I'm able to provide them with the information to, you know, both empower them in this, you know, very large financial decision and help them make a very good decision.
And let me ask you a question on that. So the greatest adage in the world is there are no dumb questions. But there must be one question you've gotten that you think is, now that's not a great question. That's kind of not a smart question. Does that ever happen?
Honestly, in the mortgage market, it doesn't, because there are people who, you know, there's been questions like, what happens if I pay more than my usual monthly payment? And that's not a very, you would think, okay, it writes down your principal, or, you know, it goes towards interest, or it shortens the life of the loan, but it all depends. And I think what's interesting with mortgages is, you know, there's been a way to make it look like it's very simple, right? Because I think there's just generally incentive to, and it's a good one, to help people purchase homes and get a mortgage and build wealth through this house purchase. But there's a lot of information in the background that's just not shared with the borrowers. And many borrowers don't even know how a mortgage amortizes. So how much interest?
So I'm gonna work hard now, Seema. You've come to me with the concept of there are no dumb questions, okay? And you've been able to articulate that literally you haven't really got dumb questions, which I completely believe. I mean, completely. It's a complicated area. People don't want to be squeezed by their lenders, and there's just a lot of questions people have, and there's not often people that really want to listen and talk to them. I'm going to try and ask a dumb question, and I'm going to ask you to answer. How's that?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so you're named, say, and I hope this is not a dumb question, quite frankly. You're named SafeRate. The people that now sponsor Kaminsky Park, Old Kaminsky Park, Old White Sox Field, I'm dating myself by even calling it Kaminsky Field or Kaminsky Park, are now guaranteed rate. At what point in the company's trajectory do you and your husband, partner, founder, and how many fights have to happen for this to happen, do you get to the spot where you're in a position to sponsor, to take over the White Sox Park sponsorship and get rid of guaranteed rate and bring in safe rate?
You can't see it right now, but you've put a very big smile on my face just thinking about the prospect. But if you think about, you know, the mortgage, the size of the mortgage market, it's about, you know, $4 trillion, you know, residential mortgages, $4 trillion of residential mortgages originated each year. And these largest players have, you know, about, you know, 5 to 10% of that. And so, you know, if we're able to capture anything like, you know, $200 to $500 billion of mortgages each year, I think we'll be in a good place to rename the stadium.
Well, and that would be exciting. I mean, I know that there's the Quicken Loans of the world, there's the guaranteed rates of the world, there's all these different players in the mortgage industry. It's a huge, huge business. And it's been a hot time right now for home sales, notwithstanding the pandemic. So it's a very exciting thing. Seema, I hope greatly. I just hope that if you get to be the sponsor of White Sox Park, and I don't even call it guaranteed rate field, I apologize. But if we get to that spot, I'll make you two promises. One, you promise me you'll be on our podcast again. And two is that I will call it SafeRate. I will never call it Kaminsky Field again. I'll never call it White Sox Park. I will call it Safe Rate Field forever. That's my promise to you.
I appreciate Shima, that so much.
Oh my God, a great pleasure. I'm just fascinated by what you've taken on and what you're doing. I'm always amazed. You know, yesterday we had somebody on that started their own pharmaceutical company, and they're having great success. It's taken a while. It's not easy. Today we've got you on who started your own mortgage lender, but not just a mortgage agent, not just a broker, a true mortgage lender. And it's really magnificent, Shima. I want to wish you great luck. Congratulate on where you've come so far. It's really magnificent. We'd, of course, love to have you on again, even before we rename White Sox Park Safe Rate Field. But we'll look forward to visiting with you. And congratulations to you and your husband. And try and keep the rows at least rationally minimal.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I appreciate all the support. And I definitely look forward to being on another podcast and catching up again.